And after 6.5 years of the greatest persecution, they're still afraid of the church, the living church. You might ask why I say the greatest persecution. Surely Rome was greater. No, it wasn't. In Rome we had catacombs, and we hid in them. There are no catacombs in China today. In Rome they didn't bother about the children. Children of 4 or 5 years of age. In China today they take those children from the father and mother. The father and mother are given land and they've got to till it and got to produce so much. What about the children? Oh yes, they're taken to the kindergarten, they're well fed. And from morning to night they have a political science teacher telling them Marxism, Leninism, you're bound to inform on your father, your mother, your brother, your sister. You've heard about that, the children telling on their parents, grown-up students telling on their parents, grown-up students demanding the death of their father and standing by where he's been shot. You've read about it. It has happened all over China. That's what they're being taught. They're breaking up that beautiful family system which we have broken up ourselves. Contraception and everything else, we have destroyed our own families. Chinese still have their big family, indoctrinate them, send them back into the family and blow the family apart so that the parents won't even speak before the children. Who has ever seen a persecution like that? 6.5 years of it. And yet, you hear the paper, you hear the radio, still trying to form a patriotic church and failing. There's a magnificent Christianity you never thought was in China. It's there and living. But I mustn't leave things in the air like this. I must give you a few examples to let you see what I mean. Now, very probably, if I speak to you, if you are like the people in England, and perhaps you're not, I'm going around there every Sunday, and I know that 90% of those people consider the Legion of Mary to be a sort of a sissy organization, made up of a bunch of little girls who gather together every week and gossip about their neighbors. Now, if it was that, the communists wouldn't worry about it. But I would love to make it a bit clearer here tonight what the Legion is. Who was the president and vice president of the Legion of Shanghai? One was a businessman with a wife and 5 lovely children. The vice president was a famous doctor, city of 6 million souls, much more than Sydney. Head of a big hospital with a wife and 5 lovely children. And yet those two men knew perfectly well that they would go to prison because I was going to prison, and yet they accepted those positions. And I remember some days before I was arrested, the little doctor came up to see me because I was sick. And I like to think, I like to repeat to you that when he sat down on the chair after giving me my medicine, he said, "Father, would you repeat to me once again the doctrine of St. Louis Maria Grignion de Montfort? What is it to live in Mary and with Mary?" Getting ready for prison. Father of a family. And I said, "Doctor, how do you feel about what's going to happen to both of us?" And he said, "Oh, Father, I'm all right." And yet when I shook his hand was trembling. And then somebody asked him, "What about your poor wife and 5 children?" And the doctor said, "Oh, my wife is magnificent. She said to me yesterday, 'Do what you should be doing for God and His Holy Mother. Don't mind me. I look after the children.'" Now, there's heroism for you. You don't need to go back to Rome for it. You have it, 1951. Father of a family. Those two men have been in prison for the last 6.5 years. And God knows where the 2 wives and 10 children are. One more. You know, I came out of prison disappointed. If I got a knock on the head, it would have been the greatest cause to die in. But they wouldn't let anybody be a martyr. No martyrs. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. Kick them out. Nobody will listen to them anyway. The press will say more on the other side than they'll say against us. They knew it. And when I came out, I thought, at least, even though I have to face a world again, I'm disappointed. I would be much more used sitting on the floor of a prison than I am here talking. And yet I thought when I came out, surely the world, I was grateful for all the prayers, but I thought surely the world, even the non-Catholics, must be looking to China, to these wonderful young boys and girls who have left their lovely families and their lovely homes and gone into prison with their heads high in the air. And I came out and I found quite a difference. I heard about heroes and heroines I never knew in my life. Davy Crockett. Hopalong Cassidy. Marilyn Monroe. And Bill Haley. Well, you know, I was disappointed. I don't blame the kids, I suppose. How would they know? The papers never told them. There was nobody to go around and tell them about the martyrs, about the people, the Agneses and Cecilia, the Agathas and all up to this very day. And their minds were on different heroes and heroines, cutting their hair like them, walking like them, dancing like them. That was all. And I can't help thinking, I'll give you one case, Joanna Shaw. Please remember the name. Young girl, just finished her university course in Peking, in Tientsin. From a very wonderful family. Lovely young girl with the world before her. University course, degree taken. What does a girl want but to start her career? Work out a career for herself. And this girl knew I couldn't spread the Legion anymore, and she decided she was going to do it. She was a legionary already. She knew as a Chinese she couldn't move from one village to another without the police's permission, and she said it's useless trying to try that. What did she do? She tucked up her hair and donned a communist cap, blouse and skirt. And across her breast she wore the medals of the heroes of the day, Marx, Lenin, Stalin, because he's no good now. Mao Zedong and the rest. Why did she do that? So that they wouldn't notice her. And she moved up to places I never went in my life, up to Manchuria. Aye, and I met a little Italian nun up in Brisbane the other day. Couldn't talk a word of English and blab, blab, blab China to me. Delighted to talk in Chinese. And when she heard about Joanna, she said yes. She landed into our convent dressed as a communist. There was a girl for you. Should be written up, and our kids know nothing about her. And when she got to another place, take off her communist uniform and get into a country woman's clothes, pull down her plaits, sit on a bicycle, off to the country place and tell the priest, Father, you're going. We've got to leave something. Let's start a presidium. Get the people together. Tell them, the church is not that building. That will be broken. You are the church. You are the mystical body of Christ. You are the members. You must build up the church, even if the priest is gone. That girl traveled all around North China while we were waiting on arrest. She set up at least 350 presidia. And 4 days before I was arrested, Joanna was caught too. And when I came out of prison, I heard the poor girl had been condemned to 10 years hard labor. She's there now. There's no word. We don't know whether she's dead or alive. But if she's alive, she's sitting in some tiny little cell. Noel, another one. N-O-E-L-L-E. Little Noel, my own junior president, a girl about that height, quite small, very smart little child, brilliant. Just finished her schooling at the Mothers of the Sacred Heart, the biggest school I've ever seen. Studying at the university run by the Jesuit fathers, the Aurora University, doing her first year's medicine. Father a doctor, grandfather a doctor, and Noel going to be a doctor too, but all arranged with the Carmelite nuns that she would go in there. Now, some days before I was arrested, we had to stop the external meetings of the Legion, and remember, all the more credit to the Legion. The Legion has been stopped since 1951. We told them, we cannot, there's no right of assembly. What you have learnt in it, carry on. Do your work. You are bound to be apostles. Go right ahead with what you've got. And even after 6 years, they're still looking for them. Noel came up to the house. We had already stopped the external meetings, and I was depressed because I felt it was a sort of failure. And I said to Noel, Noel, isn't this a great tragedy that the communists have turned against us? You know what she said? She stamped her foot and she said, Father, don't say that. This is no tragedy. This is glorious. I must say I blushed. I was her spiritual director. And here that little girl realized far better than I did the glory of the cross, that Christ could think of no better way of saving the world except by the cross. That every time the church was persecuted, it rose out of it. And that the Legion of Mary would be far better known because it was persecuted. Look at it today. There was foresight for you. Aye, and that child every day went down the street with her young junior legionaries, holding the gospel in her hand, shouting, Matthew 5:11. Matthew 5:11. Right in the face of the communist. Blessed are ye when they shall persecute and calumniate you, and say all that is evil against you untruly in my name. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Father a doctor, grandfather a doctor, studying to be a doctor, and thinking about heaven. We don't expect to see those things nowadays, do we? Every Sunday morning, Noel brought her fellow university students, down to the front seat of a little chapel, where there was a young priest, the first secretary of the Holy Father's representative. Some of the fathers here have known him, Father Matthias Tsin, arrested the same night as myself, and 6.5 years in prison, and we don't know where he is. He was thundering against the injustices of the communists. Noel brought her fellow students to listen to him. And she knew very well the girl beside her was a traitor, specially baptized to inform on the Catholics, writing down everything the priest said, writing down the names of everybody in that little chapel, blessing herself, genuflecting, and going out and handing that document to the communists. Noel knew it very well, and I warned her, and she said, oh, what about it, Father? Forget about it. And I came out of prison, and I asked about Noel, and I heard at that time she'd been in prison for 1.5 years. That means she has now been in between 4 and 5 years. Poor little Noel wanted to be a Carmelite nun, and there she's been in, sitting on the floor, never talking to anybody, far more Carmelite than ever a Carmelite was. Now, I could go on all the evening with these stories, but now listen. Can you see what I mean? When the communist with his foresight is not afraid of the man with the gun, take the gun off him, and what is he if he's not a Christian? Nothing. No principles. Not afraid of the atomic bomb, as they said. Who is afraid of the atomic bomb? Certainly not China. You could drop 6 in China, we wouldn't hear them. Drop 6 elsewhere, be another story. Can you see why they're not afraid of the powers? Why they're all they want is peace. They talk about peace, ready for war, but talk about peace and infiltrate. Wonderful system. And yet how they can do nothing with France as the president, the little doctor, Joanna, Noel. What can you do with them? Lock them up in a cell. If you let them out anywhere, they'll continue to talk about God and His Holy Mother. Spread the very thing they're trying to crush. They're not only useless to a communist system, they're a menace. There it is. Let's learn the lesson from them. We needn't go anywhere else. Spiritual values, principles. We're bound to those. No wonder the Holy Father has opened the floodgates of spiritual values. Communion, evening mass, no fast. His foresight. He has called on the lay apostolate 50 years ago, seeing clearly the danger in front, and only now we're beginning to wake up to the thing. There is the answer. The only answer is Christianity, a living Christianity. Not war, not atomic bombs, nothing else, not a new government. You are the answer. Don't try to pass it on to anyone else, each and every one of you. We'll come to that again. In the prison, and I tell you one or two things about the prison to let you know what these poor little people are suffering inside. I've told you before, sitting on the floor from morning to night, not allowed talk, cough, sneeze, close our eyes. When you get to night, you long to... You don't want a bed. You haven't got a bed and you don't want it. Stretch yourself out on the floor so that you could close your eyes and get a bit of peace. And just when you're in the middle of a heavy sleep, you hear the door knocked, your number called out, you're handcuffed behind your back with French handcuffs, dragged upstairs and left standing most of the night, being asked stupid questions. Legs, you don't know where your legs are. Towards morning, you come down, couple of hours sleep, and then the next day they watch you specially lest you close your eyes. Next night you might even get 2 hours sleep, and then the knock on the door, handcuffed again and up again. And the third night you might escape altogether, but you all the night you're listening to the other doors being knocked. And the shackles, poor lads going out and poor lads coming back, groaning under the tight handcuffs. I was happy. I was perfectly peaceful. Can't understand it. I didn't say comfortable. We're inclined to mix those two things up nowadays. If we're not comfortable, we're not peaceful. Nonsense. Nonsense. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave to you, not as the world giveth. But you might say, I thought I suffered something, and I know I suffered nothing now. The little priest who was arrested the same night as myself, well, he died. Father Legrand, who didn't die, the European, they don't want them to die. He came out, and in the train he was telling me, tears running down his face, he said, my God, I don't know what happened to me. He said, at one period I was standing for 6 days and six nights. They never let me move my feet. I said, my God, how could you do that? Did you not fall? He said, I was shackled and I was handcuffed. I tried to fall. I longed to faint. I couldn't. And every few hours the judges would come in and they'd say, you killed two men. And the guards would change every hour. And he went standing on. And he said, I remember it quite clearly, and then I didn't know what was day and what was night. And at the end of 6 days and six nights, they came in, and he said, I remember it, but I don't know what happened. I asked for paper, and I wrote that I killed two men. You no more killed them than you did. And the tears ran down his face. You'll have seen his article in the Jesuit magazine monthly, the month, why I confessed, and he just tells the whole thing. Something happened to Will. There was nothing left in it. Father Van Coyle standing 21 days. Another priest standing 30 days and he couldn't stand anymore. Father Sawyer came out, I told you, with his back broken. You've never heard of it before. And he's going around now stooped with his own mortuary card in his hand. People thought he was dead. They jumped on his back until it broke. But again, apparently the press hasn't had it. It's a different thing. Christianity and... There you are. Now, what about the poor pagans? For the Catholics, all those priests would tell you in the midst of that terrible thing that God's grace was there strengthening them. And they were peaceful, ready to die, perhaps even hoping that the Lord might let them be a martyr. What about the poor pagan? The boy beside me went mad. We had no lawyers to support us. Nobody to talk to at all. I never was trial. I never got a trial 32 months. I was interrogated. No trial. No lawyer. But mind you, there was one thing written on the wall of the cell, and listen to it. It's absolutely essential to the communist system. If you want to gain merit, confess. And inform on anybody who thinks, speaks, or acts against the people's government. There you have it. Inform. How we hate that word. Inside that tiny cell, no chance of getting out to the bars, no chance of talking to your people, no chance of asking anyone's advice. There it is. And that poor boy could have told on his mother and his father and his brothers, sisters. He wouldn't, and he went mad. Others went mad for the same thing. But most of them do not go mad. I've seen them shaking the bars and calling the guard for paper and writing down names, addresses, what they said, what they did, handing it back to the guard. The guard goes and hands it to the police and the people are checked up. See if they actually are such people, if they said such things, and be ready to pounce on them. Come back, open that cell. Is the man free? Oh, not at all. You don't get free from a communist prison. But he gets out to the heaven of a prisoner. Out to the labor camps. You've heard about it. But he works for the rest of his life, or most of it. 2 meals a day, no wages. I've seen that prison in Shanghai empty a couple of times a year. And that's where you get your 30 million slave laborers working for the government, building roads, building plants. No, 2 meals a day, no wages, and no strike, not a chance of a strike. And yet our papers telling us of the marvelous achievements. Why don't we hear how it was built? If some building was built in Australia here, a magnificent building like a pyramid, and it was built just by slaves, what would you say? Tear it down with your hands. And yet we're listening to these things. That's how the prisoners are brought out to the labor camps. Within 1 week, that prison would be full again. Full of the people about whom they wrote. Friends, relatives, and so on. Squeeze them, inform, out to the labor camps, and the next crowd. Wonderful system. Marvelous system of getting things done. Building bridges and power plants and roads. You might think I'm crazy, and I could call 1,000 witnesses if I could only get into that prison again to tell you this little story. We were called up on the roof one day, and there was a man brought up with a communist, and he started to exhort all of us to do the same as he had done. He said, I was condemned to death, and now I am getting a reduction to 17 years from this generous government. He said, I deserve death, but now I have a hope after when I'm about 70 years of age. Listen. Listen to what he said. He said, I exhort you all to do the same. He gives his reason why he got a reduction. Because I informed on my wife and daughters. Now, there was a shudder went through that crowd. That man of 50 years of age could turn against his wife and get them hauled into prison so that he will have a chance of getting out of prison when he's 70. Hardly blame the poor old man. There's the system. The communist stood up beside him and he said, there's the man we want in communist China. Praising him for that dreadful betrayal. You'll hardly credit it. There were Americans, English, Yugoslavians, Czechs, Chinese, Japanese, all sitting around me listening to that statement. I'm not alone. There you are. That was inside the prison. Dreadful. That informer system that got people one to inform on another. And what about outside? Well, Mao Zedong in his little book, he says it. You're either with me or against me. The words of Christ. He that gathereth not, scattereth. Which side are you on? And he says himself, well, most people would say to me, oh, don't ask us to be on either side. Leave us alone. Let us live our own family life. We admire your government. He says, useless. Which side are you on? Take a step. You must take it immediately. If I'm against you, I go into prison. If I'm with you, most people say, well, all right, we're with you, but don't ask us to be in an organization. He says, impossible. That's his own little book. Impossible. You must be in a cell. Men, women, children. You're all organized. Every week you meet, your communist dictates to you. It might be against America, it might be against Australia, might be against England, it might be against religion, might be against the Legion, might even be just against flies. And mind you, if you get 600 million people swatting flies, you swat quite a few. And we did hear, we were told by an eminent man that there were no more flies in China. What chance have they anyway? There's the system, killing flies, working people against America, against England, against the church. Perfect system. And at that time, you know, there were no more beggars on the streets. Not so now. Now there's a ruction coming up from somewhere now, but I'm telling you the system that tried to crush these people. There were no beggars at that time. There was no corruption. Nobody would take a sixpence from you. No porter at the station, nobody in the restaurant would take a penny, draw his hand back. Why would he? You tell on him, and he's sent into prison for the rest of his life. Money must go into the government hands. You get your plot of land, you work on it, you produce so much, but you must, there's no card playing or nothing else. Must be no money wasted. All go into their pocket. No more corruption, no more unemployment, as they say. How can you be unemployed? Off to the labor camps to dig. That's what Mao Zedong himself has said. And yet we know now by his own speeches that things are shaking up, that he admits that 1 in 3 of his collective farms are on the verge of bankruptcy. That the last year there were 1 million cases of corruption in the courts. Can't hold it down even with that police system. And I met people at Hong Kong some weeks ago, and they told me in that city where we're told everything is so magnificent now, not enough rice to eat. 4 ounces of meat every 10 days in a city that every meal you could have meat formerly. That's what's happened. This is the material betterment that those people are supposed to have received from communism. No more prostitutes. There's one that would interest us all. We've been trying in England, police, everybody else, trying to put sense into those poor girls' heads. 60 legionaries there every night walking the most dangerous spots in England, trying to convince them, drag them off the streets and bring them back to their faith. Police can do nothing. The communists fixed it all in 6 weeks. Prostitute is a parasite. She does nothing. She produces nothing. Same as if we had a horse or a cow, if they're not able to produce anything, well, we kill them. Send them into the factories. In the factories, they turn out socks and matchboxes and things. Does it mean that they're good girls? Oh, not at all. They live as they like. So long as it doesn't interfere with the party line, and then when they do, when the child does arrive, as it does, it's given back to the government, it's made 100% communist, she goes back to the factory and turns out more socks, babies. Socks, babies. There's what it is, production. Production, the very thing that we're looking to today, the thing that we're worshipping. Production. And if we can't produce, we're worried. If we haven't enough cars, if we haven't enough television, we're worried. We're not worried about the prostitutes. We've lost those values. And now, why am I talking about all this? Why should I try to frighten you? Well, now, honestly, my dear people, for the life of me, I cannot see what's going to stop that thing coming into this country. Well, if you don't want me to say this country, let's say England and Ireland. There's nothing to stop it except ourselves. Not a war, not atomic bomb. We are the answer. You know, it was only the third day of my arrest. I'd been twice up during the day. I'd been standing for hours and I was stupid. And I just slept for a little while and they dragged me out again and I was handcuffed and it was from 12 o'clock at night until 3 in the morning and this was 3 and honestly I hardly knew what I was saying. But the young judge looked across the table at me and he began to sneer at my country. And he said, Ireland, huh? We'll be in Ireland to liberate you. Well, I'll tell you, that woke me up. I said, thank you very much, we are liberated. He said, we'll liberate you more. And he came over to me and he took the handcuffs off my back and sent me downstairs. And for 32 months I thought of what that young fellow had said. And if I ever got out, and I'm quite sure he thought I'd be shot. If I ever get out, I'll shout that from the housetops. Here he was, a little communist, only a year perhaps a communist, and he's not satisfied with putting the powers out of China. Immediately he looks at the map, and he sees the furthest point on the map, Ireland. And he's determined to get there, to liberate us from God and the Blessed Mother and everything we've ever held dear. And when I got back to Ireland 3 years later, he was there. He was there waiting on me. Not himself, but his brother from Dublin and from Cork and from Galway. And I came to England and I found them everywhere. In the factories, in the shops, in the colleges, found them meeting the trains at Euston, where the trains come over from Ireland and the poor boys and girls come over to work. They've never known anything of a big city. They're there to find them a job and give them digs and bring them to a nice dance hall. And within a couple of months, those poor lads find themselves in a communist party. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. What we, the priests, are supposed to be doing, we can't do it, we haven't enough. What you're supposed to be doing, all of us, until we all get at it, that's what Christ told all of us, and until we all get at it, we'll never be able to catch up with that desperate, shall we call it generosity, of the communist, who is determined to bring people into the Communist Party using Christ's methods. Now we see where we are. Far more generous than we are. I once praised some legionaries in London for the number of hours they give every week just to do those things. I was hungry, I was thirsty, and so on. And a communist who had become a Catholic, a wonderful fellow, he stood up, he said, "Father, for God's sake, don't think that they're doing enough. They're not." He said, "When I was a communist, I did 24 hours a day." Completely eaten up with his job to bring everybody into communism. And I thought of that young fellow again. He was doing for the devil. He was doing for communism exactly what each and every one of us is bound to do for Christ. By our very baptism, we're bound to be apostles. What's our confirmation for? But to strengthen us to that work. The world belongs to him who loves it best and who proves that love. The words of the Curé of Ars. They're trying to prove it. They're trying to prove that they love the unemployed, that they love the man that's down and out, and so on. And it's up to us to do it. Go preach the gospel to every creature, spoken not only to 12 apostles, spoken to 500 lay people. It was the lay people who helped at that time, and we must have it now. No wonder the Holy Father is calling for us, calling for Catholic action, calling for the lay apostolate, that each and every one of us must join in. There is the answer. What is it? That each and every one of us be a brick in the church? Oh no, sometimes the bricks, let's get away from that idea. Sometimes the brick is even a crumbling brick and the building comes down. Brother Duff says, not bricks we want, but germs of life. I believe in God. I've been baptized, I've been strengthened. I must spread the faith. Get after the man today, in the next house, the next street, the next town, outside to the next country. I see China. If I can't get to China, all right, I can't get, but please God, my little boy or my little girl will go. We have an order to get to the ends of the earth. Are we doing it? There is the answer, my dear people, a living Christianity, nothing else. And I love to think that when I come out of prison, convinced that there was no other answer, they are terrified of the spiritual value, that I came to Mr. Douglas Hyde, whom you all know. He was a great communist once, and he became now a great Catholic. And people ask him, "Mr. Hyde, how do we look for the communist? How do we know him? How do we prepare for him?" You know what he said? Forget about him. Forget about him. Live your Christianity. Christianity which embodies also apostleship. That's Mr. Hyde's answer, that each and every one of us be an apostle. And communism will fail, we know it. But remember, after communism, there's some other ism. And the answer to that other ism is again, go preach the gospel to every creature, spoken to all of us. And now, my dear listeners, I've kept you a very long time, and I'm ever so grateful for your attention. And I do want you to remember, please remember, all these wonderful young people. I've given you a few examples. Remember, 1,000 legionaries are dead. Tens of thousands of other Catholics are dead. Tens of thousands of them sitting on the prisons, stagnating. Remember what the prison was like. But remember, please remember that all these people, they are our own brothers and sisters. And I've told you what your prayers have meant to me and what they must mean to them still. Not only to them, but to those in Hungary, about whom one of your own great men has written something in the United Nations. Read it if you get it. Poland, all the other countries behind the Iron Curtain, we are part, we are members of the mystical body of Christ. And my dear listeners, again I want to thank the bishops, all the priests, for the magnificent welcome I have received in Australia. And I want to thank you all. And my last wish for you is this. May that best of mothers and that most queenly of queens who gave to me peace in prison. Give you and yours peace too. Clap.
Concludes this original tape by Father Aidan McGrath. I apologize that the original tape I made this dubbing from was not all that clear, but I hope and pray that you've been able to understand this important message about the Legion of Mary and the persecution in China and the other important point that this tape has contained. To fill out the remainder of this tape, I would like to read from the encyclical of Pope Pius XII. Pope Pius XII wrote this encyclical on Apostolorum Principis, June 29, 1958, in his effort to stop schismatic churches from being formed and to continue. It has very important information for what was going on in China at that time. And of course, these encyclicals are for all time. I will only read excerpts as there's not enough room for the entire letter to be read at this time. Bishops and the Holy See. For it hath been clearly and expressly laid down in the canons that it pertains to the one apostolic see to judge whether a person is fit for the dignity and burden of the episcopacy, and that complete freedom in the nomination of bishops is the right of the Roman pontiff. But if, as happens at times, some persons or groups are permitted to participate in the selection of an episcopal candidate, this is lawful only if the apostolic see has allowed it in express terms and in each particular case for clearly defined persons or groups, the conditions and circumstances being verily plainly determined. Granted this exception, it follows that bishops who have been neither named or confirmed by the apostolic see, but who, on the contrary, have been elected and consecrated in defiance of its express orders, enjoy no powers of teaching or of jurisdiction, since jurisdiction passes to bishops only through the Roman pontiff, as we admonished in the encyclical letter, Mystic Corporis, in the following words, quote, as far as his own diocese is concerned, each bishop feeds the flock entrusted to him as a true shepherd and rules it in the name of Christ. Yet, in exercising this office, they are not altogether independent, but are subordinate to the lawful authority of the Roman pontiff, although enjoying ordinary power of jurisdiction which they receive directly from the same supreme pontiff. Unquote. And when we later addressed to you the letter Ad Signorum Gentium, we again referred to this teaching in these words, quote, the power of jurisdiction, which is conferred directly by divine right on the supreme pontiff, comes to bishops by that same right, but only through the successor of Peter, to whom not only the faithful, but also all bishops are bound to be constantly subject and to adhere both the reverence and obedience and by the bond of unity. Unquote. Acts requiring the power of holy orders, which are performed by ecclesiastics of this kind, though they are valid, as long as the consecration conferred on them was valid, are yet gravely illicit, that is, criminal and sacrilegious. To such conduct, the warning words of the divine teacher fittingly apply. He who enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, is a thief and a robber. The sheep indeed know the true shepherd's voice, but a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. From what we have said, it follows that no authority whatsoever, save that which is proper to the supreme pastor, can render void the canonical appointment granted to any bishop, and that no person or group, whether a priest or a layman, can claim the right of nominating bishops, that no one can lawfully confer episcopal consecration unless he has received the mandate of the apostolic see. Consequently, if consecration of this kind is being done contrary to all right and law, and by this crime the unity of the church is being seriously attacked, an excommunication reserved specialissimo modo to the apostolic see has been established, which is automatically incurred by the consecrator and by anyone who has received consecration irresponsibly conferred. Thus we conclude this tape, which we trust and pray has been very helpful, encouraging, and enlightening. A very considerable amount of time, effort, and expense has been put forth to produce these tapes at Holy Family Recordings. Did you know the Pope told us, ignorance is the root of all evil? And St. Thomas wrote in the Summa, wherefore, through negligence, ignorance of what one is bound to know is a sin. We're all bound to know what the commandments forbid and oblige us to do, what the Catholic Church teaches, what we must do to obtain eternal salvation. Let none of us be negligent in learning, knowing, and applying this knowledge. Tapes produced at Holy Family Recordings will certainly assist, support, and help us in this important matter. Thank you for your kindness, benevolence, and goodwill and attending tapes from Holy Family Recordings. Obtain copies of this tape and many others from the Religious Supply Store or order direct from Patrick Henry, 7067 South Tumbleweed Drive, Safford, Arizona, 85546. We request your help and thank you for letting others know about this tape apostolate. When you write, visit, or phone others, please tell them about Holy Family Recordings. We deeply appreciate your prayers for all who have helped in any way to make these tapes available. Let us always pray for one another. May the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph grant sufficient grace for each of us to live our lives in complete uniformity with God's most holy will.